Amos chapter 3. If you'd like to follow in your Bibles in the pews, it's on page 958, but it also will be on the screens if you'd like to read it from there. Let's listen to what the Lord has to say. Hear this word, people of Israel, the word the Lord has spoken against you. Against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your sins. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Does a lion roar in the thicket when it has no prey? Does it growl in its den when it has caught nothing? Does a bird swoop down to a trap on the ground when no bait is there? Does a trap spring up from the ground if it has caught nothing? When a trumpet sounds in the city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Proclaim to the fortresses of Ashdod and to the fortresses of Egypt. Assemble yourselves on the mountains of Samaria. See the great unrest within her and the oppression among her people. They do not know how to do right, declares the Lord, who store up in their fortresses what they have plundered and looted. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says: an enemy will overrun your land, pull down your strongholds, and plunder your fortresses. This is what the Lord says: as a shepherd rescues from the lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites living in Samaria be rescued with only the head of a bed and a piece of fabric from a couch. Hear this and testify against the descendants of Jacob, declares the Lord God Almighty. On the day I punish Israel for her sins, I will destroy the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will tear down the winter house along with the summer house. The houses adorned with ivory will be destroyed, and the mansions will be demolished, declares the Lord. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we begin to talk about justice, I began to see that really justice is about a return. When God created the world, and I'm engaged in a couple of pre-confession classes, and we've been talking about this as a group because this is so foundational to the Christian faith and to our understanding of the world and the universe. When God created the world, He created it good. He created it perfectly so that it was a universe that was in balance. It was a universe in which there was no evil, there was no brokenness, there was no pain or death. There was only joy. There was only happiness in being the people of God. And then sin came into the world, and we know we confess our sin. We do that week after week, relentlessly, as the people of God. We confess Because we know that our lives are all misshapen and broken. That as they shatter, we try to put them back together, but it's an imperfect repair job that we can do. And our job, our calling, is to be people that take those pieces and do our very best as the people of God to reassemble this broken world and recreate that shalom, that perfect peace, that righteousness that was God's original intention. We're not imagining something new. We're looking back to the way it was meant to be and saying, we have to work to make this look like that again, because that is the will of God for us. Amos spoke to the Israelites about justice because of who they are. Who are these people? This people of God? Well, they have to understand that they are a people who were created by God. As individuals, we were formed by God, that we are made by God, that we are made even in the image of God. But our beginning is from God. And we have a dignity and a duty because we have been saved by God. The Christian faith says those who are broken, those who cannot restore themselves, those who have no hope are given hope by Jesus. That we are saved by grace. And this is not from us. This is from God, so none of us can boast about it. And we are these people that have the privilege of being restored and redeemed. That is who you are. So people say, who are you in your essence? In your essence, in the deepest point, you say, I am a person made in the image of God who has been saved by God and is now acceptable to God so I can go to Him. And that's who you are. But then there's a question that follows that. If that's who you are, then what are you supposed to do? What is your responsibility? As the people of God, created in the image of God, saved by God, loved by God, and filled with the Spirit of God, you have the responsibility to reveal God in your life, in every dimension of your being, whether it's as mothers, whether it's as children, whether it's as workers, whether it's as people at play, whether it's people in school, whatever is your activity, in that you are called to image God, to reveal God to the world, to obey God, to listen to the Word and say, what does God require of us? You say, well, it gets down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. If you do that, you will be fulfilling the whole law. And we need to be always asking ourselves, are we loving God? Are we loving our neighbor? Together, we need to let the nations know that God is here, that God is good, that God is the one who will make all things right. We have a responsibility to bring creation, to bring society, to bring every element of our world back into that alignment with Him. The fact is that our world and our society is broken and people suffer. Jennifer is going to tell us a bit about that.
Morning. So in 2018, the Global Slavery Index... Am I good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. In 2018, the Global Slavery Index estimated that approximately 40 million men, women, and children are enslaved in our world today. That is more people currently being enslaved and exploited in our world today than the slavery of the transatlantic slave trade in the 17th and 18th, 19th centuries. And fittingly, this morning I woke up to Facebook, a quote from William Wilberforce, who was an abolitionist in the 1800s, and he said, "A private faith that does not act in the face of oppression is no faith at all." In Canada, trafficking and exploitation often looks like commercial sexual exploitation. So at restorations, the survivors that I work with tend to be Canadian-born women and girls who are targeted, recruited, and exploited by pimps and traffickers who are very good at identifying vulnerabilities and exploiting them for their own purpose. Pimps and traffickers often pose as boyfriends and then use emotional manipulation to exploit their victims. Approximately two-thirds of trafficking in Canada happens in Ontario, and especially here in southern Ontario because we're densely populated and there's good highway systems connecting all of our major cities, and human trafficking is a mobile crime. I want to share with you today, on Mother's Day, I remember the first girl who ever called me Mama, and it wasn't the little girl, my kid is the one in the gray dress with the stuffed kitty cat this morning. Her name is Amy, and that's my daughter, but she was not the first girl to call me Mama. The first girl to call me Mama was a victim I've known for about 7 years. She was first trafficked when she was in her teenage years. She was exploited by a pimp who befriended her and acted like her boyfriend, and then trafficked her in strip clubs and in prostitution. And then she was moved to Ontario for her safety, where I met and befriended her. And we would take long car rides. We would talk about things like faith. She has one of the Psalms tattooed on her body. We talked about faith. We talked about her family. We talked about music. Our music interests varied. They were very different, our music tastes, but we talked about music. We talked about her boyfriend, who she missed very much, and her boyfriend was her pimp. Over time, she reentered the sex trade. On average, it takes about 5 to 7 attempts for women to leave the sex trade before they leave for good. She returned to the sex trade and was trafficked by another pimp, who brought her out to Calgary and exploited her there over Calgary Stampede. And she's still being exploited. She's exploited in massage parlors primarily now. And I haven't seen her in about 5 or 6 years, but we still text regularly. And every time we text, she still says, "I miss you, Mama." So she's on my heart today.
Amos was inspired and called by God to speak the harsh words that we read together because the people of God had failed. As I was studying this and thinking about how to share this, it struck me how contemporary the prophecy of Amos feels. I expected it to be, "Oh, this is a long ago," and struggle really hard to make it seem relevant for today. The problem that Israel had in the time of Amos was they were too wealthy. They were living in a time of prosperity, and they took their eyes off the ball. No longer did they pay attention to God or heed the call to be the people of God. Their money, their wealth became their new God. And power that's associated with wealth became their drug. And they no longer served the Lord. They allowed within their society violence and extortion, misuse of the poor, and worship of false gods. And I thought, you know, if I was asked to describe our society. Here in Southern Ontario in 2019, I would say we are becoming increasingly violent, materialistic, unconcerned with justice, and chasing after false gods. The Israelites of Amos' day were us. They were our society too. And the consequence of allowing our society to not be one that fulfills the call that God gives to His people was significant. As we read, those nations were called together to witness the judgment that God was bringing on His people. And ultimately, the judgment was exile, that they were going to be invaded, they were going to have their wealth stripped from them, they were going to be sold into slavery, they were going to lose everything, so that by that hard correction, they could find their way back to God and to what was really important. We are a people that have great injustices among us. Jen talks about the human trafficking that takes place. You know where that takes place? It's in the hotels that are along the 403. And that's where girls and young women are exploited and trapped. It's where they are put into circumstances that make a shudder. And it is our society in which this is happening. We sit here as pious and righteous feeling and say, yeah, well, my life's together. You know, my family's all good. Some of us, that's not even true. And we don't acknowledge the fact that brokenness is among us and we have said next to nothing about it. It is to weep. And I ask you at this moment to pray a prayer of confession with me. Let's pray. Lord God, there is so much pain in our society. There is so much brokenness around us. And we have so often chosen to not see it. We don't want to see it. We don't want to know about it. Because then we might have to do something about it. We might have to say something. We might have to serve. And we lament our own brokenness that allows these things to continue. Lord God, forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for allowing these things to happen. For not standing up, for not speaking words of hope to those who are in such terrible places. We ask that you forgive us. We also ask that you empower us with your righteousness to seek your justice. Amen.
So I've been asked to share some ways that we can respond and make a difference. I personally have felt called to working with Restoration to provide long-term support and services and housing for survivors. Survivors, law enforcement, and social service providers across the country, and especially here in Southern Ontario, they identify a lack of housing as one of the biggest obstacles and barriers that women in the sex trade face when they're trying to leave, just nowhere to go. I hear this all the time. I get calls from service providers saying, you're open, right? I have someone to refer. And I say, no, our house isn't open yet. Hopefully 2020, that's what we're aiming for. I feel it and I hear it when a survivor calls me in tears, like I had one a couple months ago, and she is near and dear to my heart and was still in the sex trade and called me in tears because she didn't want to go to a hotel that night, but she had nowhere else to go. And so here are some of the ways that you can make a difference around issues of trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation in our communities. I can't emphasize relationship building enough. Relationship building with our youth to establish safe, trusting foundations so youth are not can't fall prey to the tactics that pimps use to exploit and manipulate them. Relationships with people who are on the fringes. The same friend who called me in tears saying she had nowhere else to go, she was first exploited in the sex trade at 15 years old, and she told me a couple of years ago that she would often sit in Tim Hortons waiting for her pimps, and she would sit there in Tim Hortons kind of dressed in a manner that you might suspect someone in the sex trade to be dressed, so not a lot of clothing on her, even though she was in her teenage years. And she told me, do you know how many families kind of walked by me and kind of shifted their children so their children wouldn't see me? No one ever asked me if I was okay. And so the importance of relationships for building trust and establishing trust and telling people that people care for them. So when they're at a point when they are ready to leave the sex trade, they know that there will be people there who love and care and support them. Conversations with youth to create safe atmospheres where we can have open, honest, and deep conversations with youth about relationships, about boundaries. I have on a table out in the foyer around the corner a handout with some information about free curriculum. It's called Exposing Exploitation. Restorations developed it in conjunction with Defend Dignity, which is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. And if you're interested in this free youth curriculum, if you're a youth leader or a teacher or work with youth in some shape and form, you can access that curriculum. The only two things I remember from Mr. Meester's economics class at Hamilton District Christian High is what bear and bull markets are, and I also remember what supply and demand is. And when we look at the sex trade in terms of economics, it's a business, it's an economic industry, and you have an endless supply of vulnerable, primarily women and girls, who are vulnerable to pimps targeting, recruiting, and exploiting them. But the reason it thrives as an economic industry is not just because you have this endless supply of women and girls being exploited, but you have the demand for paid access to women's and girls' bodies. And so we need to talk about this demand. We need to have grace-filled conversations with men in our lives about dignity and respect, about the harms of the sex trade, about strip clubs, about pornography, in ways that are life-giving and grace-filled. Awareness and education, and not just for people like me who are on the front lines, you as individuals can come across victims of trafficking no matter where you are. Teachers are often going to come across victims of trafficking, especially if they're working with teenage girls, nurses, people in healthcare. If you go into a hotel, like Pastor Bruce said, every hotel in the Halton region has trafficking happening in it. So if you go to any hotel anywhere around the world, conceivably for work, for business, for vacation, family time, there is a high probability that trafficking is happening in that building. There are a variety of resources and methods to learn more. There are incredible documentaries. There's a great book called Invisible Chains that the Hamilton Public Library has. It's about trafficking in Canada specifically. There's a Toronto Star series on trafficking that has really great video resources, including a really powerful video done with a pimp who was convicted in Toronto. His name is Matthew Diego, and he shares some of the mindset of how pimps target and recruit girls. There's power in prayer. And speaking from personal experience, it's easy to pray for victims and survivors because my heart breaks for them. It is harder to pray for perpetrators and for traffickers and pimps and those who purchase sexual services, but it is desperately needed because Christ redeems us all. At Restorations, we have a variety of needs. There's information about Restorations out on the table in the foyer. We have an event coming up on June 14th, a fundraising event in Hamilton. We would love to see you there. We have Air Miles cards. If you don't already collect Air Miles, or if you do and you want to collect for Restorations, we use Air Miles to go on coffee dates with survivors to do coaching and informal mentoring. I've used Air Miles to purchase movie tickets. I accompanied a survivor to court last fall where she spent two long, excruciating weeks testifying against her trafficker, who was found not guilty last month. And I stayed with her up in York region, and after a really long day of testifying, we went and saw a movie, and that was because of Air Miles that our supporters collected. You can sign up for our e-newsletter, and we have a variety of volunteer needs as well. So my family will be sticking around after the service, and I'd love to talk with you more about Restorations and the needs that survivors have.
Thanks, Jen. I noticed, as from my vantage point, she has notes. If you would email them to me, I would like to forward those suggestions on how we can contribute positively to this great need for justice. I'll do that. If you don't have email, I'll have some copies printed out and you can ask me for them. We have been chosen to do justice. It is our call. It is our responsibility. And as we do, we have the blessing of seeing God's kingdom revealed. We see the pieces put back together right, and God being glorified. I think Jeanette Wamstaker made that little poster that's in the foyer. I noticed it this morning, and I thought, perfect, because it's like a puzzle, and the pieces are being put back together. God has given us the pieces, and now he asks us to restore the kingdom, to let our society and our lives look like what God intended it to be from the beginning. It is our spiritual act of worship to bring justice into our community. God bless you as you seek to fulfill his calling on your life. Well, this is a faith thing. And I would ask you to rise with me and that we could testify to our faith in the calling that we have received. Using the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 86. Yeah, please rise. Let me ask this question and let us answer it in unison as people with one faith, one hope, one Lord, one God and Father of us all. This is the question. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ, without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also restoring us by his Spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, so that he may be praised through us, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living, our neighbors may be won over to Christ.